Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
We are going to start a new series called Fear Not. And throughout this series, we're going to be talking about the different places in the Bible and the Christmas story where the term fear not was used. And I don't know about you, but I have fears. We all have fears. And so we're gonna be getting into those and seeing about the fears that came from the Bible. And I think it's funny, this first story, the fear that these people have is coming from an angel, right? They are afraid of an angel. So today we're gonna start with Mary. I want you to look in Luke chapter 1. We're gonna start at verse 26. Check this out. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel," great name, "was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man who is named whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" Now, this should be a really good thing to say. "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we just ask today, as we get into your word, as we begin to talk about the Christmas story, that you would allow your word to be in us. God, I pray that your word would be a seed in our heart. Let it produce good fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. So the angel tells her, fear not. Why would an angel have to come in and tell her, fear not? Right? I mean, when we think about angels, everywhere around Christmas time, we think about angels and it's little fat, naked babies with wings, right? Like, those aren't scary. But really, in this story, when you think about angels, angels in the Bible were people that were, they were beings that were sent in sometimes to destroy entire cities, countries. So these have to be very strong, very powerful beings. So when Mary sees this angel, she begins to be afraid. And the angel says, fear not. And sometimes that's a problem with us, and myself included, is we get these irrational fears. I think it's important to see that the angel comes in and is saying, greetings, O favored one. And what does Mary do? She gets scared. She says, I don't understand this greeting. I don't understand what this guy's saying to me. And she begins to get scared. And sometimes we have these fears that become super irrational. And let me just tell you about fear real quick. A couple of quick things, and this is in your notes. Fear is overwhelming. Have you ever been overwhelmed by fear before? Last night we were doing Christmas decorations, and we've got this place. If you walk into our house, it's a split level, right? So you can go down or you can go up when you walk in the front door. And above the entrance is a little loft area. And so it's pretty high up off of that landing. And so what we do every year is we put a little Christmas tree up there. And so someone's got to get up there. And so the way that we do it is not with a ladder, because it might mark up the walls and be super safe and make way too much sense. Instead, I have to climb up on a banister and then jump up and grab the ledge and pull myself up onto this loft area. And then, of course, as I'm getting older, it's getting harder and harder. But then, of course, the kids want to join me. And so Emma, who is, although she's in third grade, she's almost as tall as I am. She's real easy. I just scoop her up and throw her up there. And then Gabriel wants to get up there, and he's old enough to kind of climb up there himself. But Colt, my youngest, my five-year-old, is kind of scared of heights. And so last night, Colt said, I want to get up there. And I was like, all right, dude, let's go. Let's get up here. And he begins to climb up onto a chair to get up on the rail where my wife is helping him. We're not bad, that bad of parents. And I'm up in the loft already, ready to reach down and grab him. And all of a sudden it hits him. Like, he looks over the rail and thinks, I could fall. And he gets scared. And it overwhelmed him, right? Like, he bursts into tears and takes off running across the house and curls up in this little ball in the corner of the couch. Like, I am done. I am out of here. You will not get me on that ledge. And of course, I said, you're in trouble if you don't get up here, right? Because I don't want him to be scared. And so we made my child, kicking and screaming, get up on the ledge. Now it does kind of sound like we're bad parents. But once he got up there, he loved it. It was great. It was great. So fear can overwhelm us sometimes. Fear can overwhelm us, can freeze us up. Fear sometimes is this. Sometimes we say fear is like the opposite of faith, but sometimes I don't think that's right. I think fear really is just faith that's in the wrong things. Sometimes we have faith in the wrong things, and we have faith in the wrong things. That causes fear, right? You start putting your faith in money, and then the stock market crashes, and now you have fear. You start putting your faith in an individual, and that individual hurts you or leaves, and now you have fear. So our faith in the wrong things can cause fear. The other thing that fear does is fear is faith in the what ifs. Fear is faith in the what ifs. We get so caught up sometimes in the what ifs, don't we? And we put so much into those what ifs, so much belief into those what ifs. And if we put faith into the what ifs, it will drive you crazy. It will drive you crazy. All of a sudden you start thinking all these crazy thoughts, and that's where fear becomes irrational. It's kind of like, I don't know about you, but this is one of my fears, right? Like when Perry goes somewhere. So the other day, I don't remember where Perry went. She went out somewhere with some folks. And didn't she do a great job singing this morning? Man, she hates it when I do this, but she looks so good today. I just wanted to take her off stage and go kiss her back there. And so Perry went out one time, and when she went out with some friends or doing something, while she was out, I thought she should be back at a certain time, and she wasn't back at that time. So she's out for like an hour and then 2 hours, and then it's getting longer. Well, now I'm starting to get a little bit of faith in the what ifs, right? And I call her, phone goes straight to voicemail, as usual, right? Goes straight to voicemail. If you're a lady in the house, you know what I'm talking about. Men in the house, you know what I'm talking about. You try to call your wife, they never answer their phone. And so I call my wife, no answer. I shoot some text, no reply on the text. And so what is my faith in the what ifs start doing? It starts saying, oh, she's had a wreck. Like she's had a car accident. And now what's going to happen to me, you know, because I've got 3 kids and she probably wrecked the only good car we have. And I've got this old grandma car and I've got these 3 kids. And I don't have any hair. Like, I'm never going to get married again. I'm never going to be able to provide. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I start freaking out. And all of a sudden she walks in the door. I'm like, what were you doing? She's like, well, I just stayed a little bit longer. And why didn't you answer your phone? Oh, it's on vibrate in my purse. Well, I don't know. Right? But I'm freaking out at home because I got my faith in the what ifs. I got my faith in the what ifs. And so that's one of the things that we struggle with sometimes is we begin to assume all this fear because we have our faith in all the wrong places. My kids are the same way. They probably get it from me. My son Gabriel is, I don't know how old he is. He's 11, I think. Again, back to the good parenting. And so my son, no matter what happens, he watches these TV shows, and he loves not reality TV like the Kardashians reality TV, but he loves like documentary style stuff. And so he'll be watching these shows and somehow or reading these kind of books, and somehow he read something one time or saw something one time where somebody had a pain in their knee, and then next thing they know, it's cancer, and then they got their leg amputated, and then they died. So now, every time he comes into the house and he's got some kind of pain, he's got a mole, Dad, do you think it's cancer? Am I dying? I'm like, no, you're not dying. And if you are, then that's one less mouth for me to feed. You know, and it's just like, come on, think with me. I know, it's not bad. And so he's got this irrational fear of everything, right? So it's no matter what it is, oh, my toe hurts today. Do you think I've got gangrene? And I'm like, how do you even know what gangrene is? You know, but that's how Gabriel does. He gets irrational sometimes. And I'm sure Mary is probably facing some of these same thoughts and probably a lot like us. When God shows up in her house and begins to tell her a plan for her life, he begins to tell her, hey, highly favored one, I got something for you today. Immediately she begins to get scared. Immediately she goes into fear mode, right? And it's because she's scared of God's plans. And I think sometimes that's what I do and we do is we get caught up in this fear of what God wants us to do. God sends us on this journey and we get scared and we want to stop. Remember the story of Jonah. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. There was this guy in the Old Testament named Jonah, and God said, I want you to go to this town called Nineveh. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to get people saved. And you know what Jonah did? Jonah said, I don't think so. I'm going to go get on a boat, which resulted in him being thrown overboard, which resulted in him being eaten by a whale, which resulted in him being vomited up on the shore. A lot of bad things happen whenever you decide not to do God's plan, right? And Jonah's got this in his mind. We do that too. We get so afraid of what God's calling us to do. We don't want to just go lean into the Holy Spirit, lean into what God wants us to do, because we start getting scared. But what if God wants to send me to Africa? I don't want to go to Africa. Right? Did you ever have that whenever you were a kid in church, if you ever grew up in church? I grew up in church, and when I grew up in church, we'd always have like a missionary would come, and you would hate it because you knew the missionary was going to, you know, say something, and God was going to call you to the worst place on earth. Right? Whatever the worst place is, that's where God was going to call you. He's going to call you to, you know, Siberia to live in the cold, or Mongolia, right, where the eagles come and attack you. And he's going to call you to the worst places on earth if possible. And you're just like, no, I can't do this. I don't want to hear what God's got to say. Sometimes we think God's going to tell us that, you know, we're going to have to marry an ugly person or whatever the case is. You know, and then we're going to have ugly kids. And I don't know what God's going to tell you to do. But we get this fear. We get this fear of what God is going to tell us to do. And so we're afraid of God's plan for our life. And I'm sure Mary is probably thinking the same thing. She's probably afraid. That's probably why when the angel showed up, she probably knew. She's read the Old Testament. So she probably knows when this angel shows up named Gabriel, he's usually bringing a message. He's usually telling us about our future, telling us what's going on. And whenever he showed up and began to talk to her, she got scared because she knew God had a plan for her life and she may not like it. So I want to talk about Mary's experience today. And I want to point out just a couple of things in Mary's story that I feel like are important for us to learn from. Number one is that God's interruptions are often inconvenient. When God interrupts your life, He never interrupts it at the right time. Have you noticed that? So rude. It's like if God would just look at my iCal and just know that I got stuff going on. You can't just pop in anytime you want, right? But God interrupts us at the most inconvenient times. And I'm looking at Mary's story, and the Bible says that Mary was engaged to be married, right? So she's got a boyfriend, she's got a fiance named Joseph, and she's engaged to be married. Now, fellas, we don't necessarily always understand this part of the story, so I have to explain it to the men here, but the ladies probably all know what I'm talking about. When men read over this story, we're like, oh yeah, she was engaged, big deal. But when women read this part of the story, they're thinking, oh, she was engaged, like she had a binder. Right? Like, she had plans going on. She had this whole thing. She had her dress picked out. She had her cake picked out. She was going through and she was designing how the room was going to look. And she had all this stuff going on. Men, we're just like, am I supposed to wear a suit or what do we do? You know, like, we don't care. But women have this whole thing planned out and mapped out from the beginning. The crazy thing, men, let me tell you something. You think that the woman you're marrying or the woman that you married started thinking about marriage whenever you got engaged. She did not. That binder started when she was 12. She's been packing that baby full. Every time she sees something, that goes in my binder. You know, I know what I'm going to do. And so Mary's got all of these wedding plans. She's got all of this stuff. She has probably got it all planned out. And all of a sudden, God shows up and says, you're going to have a baby. All of a sudden, God shows up and says, I've got a plan for your life. Very inconvenient time. When Perry and I were first married, we were married for a little less than a year. And the church we were at, my dad happened to be the pastor at that time. And he decided that they needed to move to another country and be missionaries. Well, we had it really good. Like, I was on staff at the church, and she and I were just getting married, and she had a job lined up that was going to be a great job at a school, at one of the best schools in the state. And so she's got this opportunity, I've got this opportunity, and things are going really well. But if you don't know how things work in most churches, when the pastor leaves, a lot of times the whole staff gets cut. Kind of like coaching. And so all of a sudden, the pastor, my dad, says, I'm leaving to go to another country. Y'all have fun. And here we are thinking, what in the world are we about to do? It was a very inconvenient time for a change. Everything in our life was going a certain direction. And right after our first anniversary, she and I are packing up a trailer, moving down to Mobile, where we didn't know anybody. We didn't know the church. We didn't know the pastor. We didn't know anything that was going on. We just knew we're packing up. She didn't have a job in Mobile. It was a very inconvenient time for us. But you know what? God had a plan. I want to tell you something today. There's some of us that are sitting in the room and we're thinking, man, everything I'm doing, life is going so good right now. But God keeps trying to do something. God keeps trying to say something. God keeps pulling at my heart, and I really wish He would leave me alone. Can I tell you something today? You need to allow God to do whatever it is He wants to do. Let Him interrupt your life. I promise it'll be worth it. The second thing that happened to Mary that we can see in this story is this, is His interruptions are often invitations. Look at verse 31. It says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and build a kingdom that will have no end." What's he talking about here? He's saying you're going to give birth to the Son of God? What are people going to think? I'm a virgin? I'm going to be pregnant? What's Joseph going to think? Like, these are things that are probably running through her mind, but then all of a sudden, it's like she begins to realize that this is an invitation. God didn't just pick Mary willy-nilly. He wasn't just going through the crowd and just you. No, no, no. She had to realize all of a sudden, I am being sucked in. I'm being drawn into this invitation to something great, something huge. God didn't just say, oh, you're going to have a baby. He said, you're going to have the baby. You're going to have the most important baby that's ever born. I'm giving you an invitation to the best party you can imagine. So God's interruptions really are just invitations to something better. We need to remember this, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." His invitations for you are to a better place. His invitations to you are to something bigger than you can ever imagine. But we get hung up on the interruption and we don't move into the invitation. Perry and I were going on vacation this past summer. And it was before we had gotten our car, her car now that's our nicer car, is before we'd gotten that. And so we didn't really have a car that we felt comfortable driving all the way to Florida in. And so we saved all this money to go on vacation, and part of the money we saved was to rent a vehicle to go down to Florida. And so we, you know, do all the stuff, and we got the vehicle we could afford, which was like the absolute smallest car you can get and still fit five people in, right? And like, I'm thinking we might have to strap luggage on top, right? So it's like we're going to be crammed in this little bitty car going down to Florida for Lord knows how many hours to get there with three kids. Can you imagine how terrible this is going to be? And so we're getting all packed up. We're getting ready to go. And I get to the car rental place. And when I get to the car rental place, I go in and the guy says, "Sir, we've got a problem." And I said, "What?" He said, "The car you rented isn't back yet." And I was like, "That's not good." And so the option was, like, I could get a smaller car, or he could give me a luxury car for the same price because my car wasn't in. I said, yes. I will take the latter, right? So then we get this SUV with leather seats, captain's chairs in the back, and a bench seat so we can separate the kids. If you've got more than one kid, you understand what I'm talking about. Separate them kids, right? You got to get them at least an arm's length away. And so we separate the kids. It's got a sunroof, two sunroofs, XM radio. I mean, this thing is decked out. It's got one of those little cameras in the back so you see when you're backing up. I drove half the way there backwards just because I love it. Here's the thing. God gives us invitations to something better, and sometimes we want to pass on it. Sometimes we would be the ones going in and saying, "No, you know what? I just want the small one. I demand to have the car I ordered because that's what I ordered. God, this is the plan I'm supposed to have because this is where it's supposed to be, and I'm trained to do this, and I'm this, and I'm that." And God says, whoa, I'm trying to give you something better if you would just take it. If you would just accept it, I want to bring you to a higher place. Sometimes we look at losing a job. We look at having a child. We've got a friend of ours that had a baby one time, and the baby had Downs. And I'm sure her first thought was, why in the world would God allow us to have this baby with Down syndrome? This is not part of your plan, God. And I'll never forget, her attitude was not that way. Her attitude was, look at what God trusted us with. God trusted us with this special little girl that if he would have given her to anybody else, they probably would have mistreated her. They might have aborted her. But God gave her to us because we knew, he knew he could trust us with her. See, sometimes this invitation, it looks bad at first. When God shows up and says, hey, you're going to be a virgin, but you're also going to be pregnant, and everybody's going to laugh at you, and everybody's going to look at you bad, and they're going to think you're some kind of bad person. I don't want to get into all the words that I'm not allowed to use, my wife on the front row. And so sometimes people are going to think that, and we get that mindset. And we say, God, I don't want this. I decline. I decline the invitation. I do not RSVP. Right? And God says, yeah, but I got something better for you. Sometimes we lose that job that we just think is the best job in the world. Right, Roger? I love to hear Roger and Sherry. They're in charge of our prayer team. And I think it's so cool, like, because Roger has, and they've told us about Roger losing a job one time and just having to depend on God and going months with looking and looking and looking and God just bringing in everything that they needed. That's the kind of people you want on a prayer team, right? Somebody that can pray through an issue and a crisis. But what was it? It was God giving them an invitation to something bigger and better. And sometimes you have to go through that hard part to get to where you need to be. I don't understand why we get so scared, though. We still get scared. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, or another word for that is peace, and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. I had a friend of mine one time take issue with that verse, and he said, we quote this verse a lot. Rick, I don't know if you remember this, but you were in the room whenever they were saying that. And he said, we quote this verse all the time, but we don't understand that this verse is not for us. This verse is for Israel, and they were in captivity, and there was this bad stuff happening. And I thought, no, that's where you're wrong. This is exactly where we need to be. This is exactly the verse for us because we find ourselves in these bad situations. We find ourselves in this interruption in life where we've got this invitation to something better, but it looks really scary. And God begins to tell us, hey, wait, I've got a plan that's bigger than your plan. It's higher than your plan. And it's for your hope and your future and your peace. It's not to kill you. It's not to hurt you. It's to do something better. Stop being afraid. Fear not. The Bible says, the next thing that happened to Mary is, what we need to see is that God invites us to a place of impossibility. That invitation that came from the interruption is always going to lead you to something impossible. And that's a great thing. We think it's not good, because as soon as we get that, we think, this is impossible, I can't do it. Look at what Mary says in verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? She said, I never slept with a man. I can't be pregnant. It is physically impossible. And that's exactly what God wants you to think. See, I need to get to the rest of my notes, and I will. But here's the thing. When God puts you in a place of impossibility, it forces you to depend on Him and not yourself. When God shows you that you can't do it, then you have to depend on Him. See, if God would have told her, hey, you're going to get pregnant one day with your husband Joseph, then it would have been all about Mary and Joseph. It never would have been about God. But God said, no, we're going to do something crazy. We're going to get wild in here today. I'm going to make you pregnant, boom, and it's done, and it has nothing to do with this man over here. She says, it's impossible. True. We have to lean in. We have to go with Him. Let me show you two things that God told Mary, the angel told Mary, that you need to hear this morning. Number one, He says this. And He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and His power will overshadow you. That's the first thing He told her. He said, God's Holy Spirit will come upon you. She says, this is impossible. And He says, God's Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and His power will overshadow you. Can I tell you something today? God will never leave you alone in this journey. He will always provide a helper. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Jesus says, you're always going to have a helper with you, named the Holy Spirit. And if you will just allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life, allow His power to overshadow you. He wants to make a deposit in your life. The Bible says the angel tells her, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to bring the seed into your life, that's going to form this baby in you, and you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do it. Can I tell you something today? The Holy Spirit wants to do a work in you. There's something He wants to put down inside of you. There's a gift He wants to give you. There's power that He wants to put inside of you, and we've got to allow Him to do it. We can't be afraid of allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in us. God says, you want to do the impossible? You got to have a helper. You want to be a part of an impossible plan? You've got to have the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to speak to you, to empower you, because you cannot do it on your own. There's this guy named E.M. Bounds, and he writes a lot of stuff on prayer. One of my favorite things that he says, and I think about this all the time when I get ready to preach, is he says, you don't need to pray for a sermon. Don't ask for the sermon to be anointed. The sermon doesn't matter. Pray for the preacher to be anointed. Pray that you are the man of God and the sermon will flow out of you. What's he saying? He's saying you got to have the Holy Spirit in you and then the action will take care of itself. When you're looking at an impossible plan that God has given you, don't start praying about the plan. You start praying about you. Holy Spirit, you help me. Holy Spirit, you fill me. Today, Holy Spirit, I invite your power into my life. Why? Because whenever I've got the Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible. And that's the second thing the angel told her. He said, nothing is impossible with God. With it, when you've got the Holy Spirit in you, on you, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. I thought this was interesting. It says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. For reference on that, for context on that, Jesus was talking about salvation at that point. He wasn't even talking about some kind of miracle of growing someone's leg out or raising the dead. He's talking about someone getting saved because the disciples are a little bit freaking out because they see this guy that decides not to serve God and instead wants to be rich. And Jesus says, you know, this guy's wealth has got him messed up. And the disciple says, who can be saved? It's impossible for any of us to get saved. And Jesus said, yeah, with man it is impossible. There's no way you can save yourself. You can't do enough works. You can't do enough stuff to get saved, to come to God. But with God, all things are possible. When the Holy Spirit touches your life, you can do anything. And there may be some folks in here today, you may be thinking, I would love to give my life to God. But Gabriel, you just don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. You're right, I don't know it. And you're also right, there's no way you can get saved on your own. And that's why we tell people all the time, don't try to quit everything you're doing before you give your heart to Christ. Don't try to quit everything you're doing before you come to church. You come to church and give your heart to Jesus Christ, and He will help you, by His Holy Spirit, quit everything that you need to get freedom in all the areas of your life. So the question today is going to be this: what is God asking you to do? I put in your notes today a place where you could actually write down something. What is God asking you to do or even believe? What are the things that God's speaking to your heart over the past couple of months or the past couple of years even, and you've been afraid to step out? You've been afraid to do what God wanted you to do. There's things still in me that I think about all the time. I think, man, feel like God wants me to do this. And there's sometimes I just think, I'm too afraid to do them. I'm afraid to step out and do the things that I know I feel like God's called me to do. And I'm the preacher. So if it happens to me, I know it happens to you guys too. You've got a chance. Write it down. Maybe you got a journal. Write something down today that you feel like God's calling you to do. What is it He's calling you to believe? And why is it that you're not doing it? I want you to remember a couple of things today. Number one, the outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is your responsibility. We think we've got to make the outcome happen. But in reality, all we got to do is obey. All we got to do is obey. Don't worry about the outcome. Let God handle that. I was praying this morning, and as I was praying, I just began to pray, God, help us to do the possible to open the door for you to do the impossible. Help me to do the possible. What is the possible? For me this morning, the possible was studying. For me this morning, the possible was prepared. For me, the possible was praying. For me, the possible was getting here and getting everything set up and doing the things that I've got to do. Why do I do that? So that God can do the impossible. I want to get everything that I can do out of the way. I want to obey in every area that I can obey so that God has the freedom to do whatever it is He wants to do in my life and in this church. There's some possibilities you need to work on today to open the door for the impossible. You work on obedience. Let God take care of the outcome. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, and Samuel said to the Lord, Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. So many people, especially back in those days, thought it was just better if I could just make a sacrifice, if I could just give in the offering, if I could just go do something for somebody, that way I don't have to obey what God's really telling me to do. And that's where we find a lot of people sometimes, is they're very willing to try to buy somebody off, right? They try to buy God off. I heard this story one time of a man that God called him in his 20s to go to the mission field. And he said, God, I'm not ready to go to the mission field. I'm in my 20s. I'm not married yet. I would like to get married. If I could just, let me just get married before I go. And he said, I'll just give some money to missions. And so he gave money to missions. And in his 30s, God called him to the mission field. He said, yeah, but God, I'm married now and I just started having kids. If you could just wait until my kids are a little bit older and then I'll go. And he just, to ease his guilt, he just gave more money to missions. And then in his 40s, God said, come on, it's time to go. And he said, yeah, but God, I can't. We just got this good job and things are really looking up for us and the kids are playing sports and they're involved in school and I just can't go right now. If you'll just wait till the kids are gone, and he just gave more money. And then he was in his 50s and God called him again. He said, yeah, but God, my kids just got out of school. It's finally time for me and my wife to have time to ourselves again. We're empty nesters and we just want to enjoy it for a little while. Let me just give some more money to missions. In his 60s, he noticed that God didn't call him anymore. He began to pray and said, God, why don't you want me to? You haven't spoken to me in a while. You haven't asked me to go anywhere in a while. God said, I already found somebody that was obedient and willing. I don't need you. Sometimes we just want to give and give and give. And God's saying, I want you to do something. I want you to obey. Maybe it is God wants you to obey by giving. I don't know what God wants you to do, but sometimes we want to worry about the obedience part. We need to worry about that. Mary had two responses to the Lord. Luke 1:38. Here's what she said. God comes in and interrupts her life, gives her an invitation to the impossible, and here's her response. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. When she says, I am the Lord's servant, she knew who she was and she knew whose she was. She understood, I'm just a servant. I'm nobody special. You can call me highly favored, but at the end of the day, I'm just here to serve. I'm just here to wash feet. I'm here to do whatever you ask me to do. And I know who I am serving. I am serving the Lord. I'm not serving myself. I'm not serving my church. And look, can I just say this real quick? We're going to have core team appreciation next week. Rick and Rachel, Rick's going to be speaking. He's going to be there. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have that on the 11th. For everybody that's in the core team, we'll invite you to it. But can I tell you something? If you're here serving the church, if you're serving me, we're serving the wrong thing. We got to serve the Lord. It's always about Him. It's always about God. It's always about Jesus. It's always about saying, my heart is to serve the Lord. She knew who she was and whose she was. The next thing she said is, let it be according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. She had no fear in God's impossible plan. God gives her this impossible plan. She says, let's do it. Let's do it. Whatever it is you want to do, I'm here. Whatever it is you want to do, I'm open. I'm ready. I'm willing to do whatever you want to do, God. Take my life today. I'm here to serve. That brings us to a great question today. Do you know whose you are? Do you know who you are? Are you willing? Are you willing to say, God, whatever it is you want to do in my life? I may not like it. It may not be my favorite. But I'm ready to do whatever it is that you want to do in me. I remember back whenever the story I told about my dad leaving to go to another country, and Perry and I were at this church, and the church was going through all this transition, and we had an interim pastor, and we just thought, man, this is it. This interim pastor is our friend, and he's gonna get to be the full-time pastor, and we're going to be hired on. We're going to stay on. It's going to be great. Our life won't miss a beat. The church board came in and fired the interim pastor and wanted to get a new guy. They brought a new guy in. The new guy could not stand me. He wanted his own staff. He wanted his own direction. And at the time, I didn't understand it. And I was mad and I was hurt and I was frustrated. And I remember I used to just go in my room, and we had this little single wide trailer, and so I would walk to the guest room, which wasn't a very long walk. And so I walk into the guest room, and I would lay on the floor, and I would just cry, and I would just pray, and I would just seek God's face, and I just said, God, I'm so mad, I'm so frustrated. And eventually, that anger and that frustration broke in me, and it moved to obedience. And I started praying, God, I'll do whatever you want to do. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll work whatever job you want me to work. And God opened up a door for us. We went to Mobile. You know, it's crazy to even think about what happens after all that stuff. But we went to Mobile, and while we were at Mobile, I was a youth pastor, and I needed an intern one summer. So I called my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law comes down to intern with me. While he's interning with me, he meets a girl. Her name was Anna. Right? A couple years later, she and I leave. We move to Birmingham. That church needed a worship pastor. They start looking for people they know already. Who did they call? They call Jonathan. Jonathan comes down. He still got that girl named Anna down there. They end up getting married. God ends up calling them back up here with us. They have a baby now. He's tired. So Perry and I like to play the what if game. What if I hadn't gone into that spare bedroom and cried out to God and said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. What if I hadn't listened to God when he said, go to Mobile? Would John and Anna have gotten together? Would Vivian have been born? Like, we think this way. Like, we are the key to the universe. In all seriousness, God's got a plan that's bigger than you. And you got to be willing to give your life to him. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? I want you to close your eyes this morning. There's nothing special about that. I just want you to have a moment alone with the Holy Spirit. And let's just see. Let's just see what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Let's just begin to ask him in your own way. Just say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? If an angel showed up in the room right now and began to speak to just you, what are the things that he would say to you? What are the plans that he would begin to put into your heart? My guess is God's already spoken some of this to you. Now it's time to take action. Just let him speak for a second. Let me ask you this today. Do you know who you are today? Are you his servant today? Have you given him everything you've got? Have you laid down your life before him? Is he your Lord and your Savior today? Is he the one that takes away your sin and leads you and guides you today? Our desire today is to serve the Lord. And maybe today you say, Gabriel, I've been serving myself. I've been living life for me. I'm not serving God the way I know I should. And I would like to give him my life this morning. If that's you, I'm not going to call you out. I just want to see who needs prayer today. Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Anybody that needs that prayer this morning, you need that relationship with Jesus Christ today. Okay. Let's all pray together, and I'm going to pray for you before we dismiss. But pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I commit myself to be the Lord's servant. Be my Savior and be my friend. Forgive all my sins today and draw me close to you. I believe in you that you're the only way to get to God. So I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, for the rest of us today, maybe there's some of you today, and you're saying, "Man, God's calling me to do something. I've got fear in my life today. I'm scared to step out and do what I feel like God's calling me to do." If that's you this morning, let's just hold up our hands together. I've got mine up. There's things that I feel like God's calling me to do. I don't always have the wisdom to do it. I don't always have the courage to do it. Let's lift up our hands today. Let's pray today. And let's ask God to fill our lives with courage. God, today we just pray. We just ask that you would help us to redirect our faith. God, our faith is so caught up in the what ifs. Our faith is caught up in the wrong things. God, our faith is in the wrong place today. And we want faith in you. We want to trust you and believe you. We don't want to be afraid of all that you have for us. God, we thank you today that you've got a plan that is bigger than us. It's better than us. We're wanting to settle for the economy car, but you've got a luxury vehicle just waiting on us to accept today. So I ask today that you would open up our eyes. I ask today that you would open up our hearts to receive your plan, to see what it is that you're calling us to, and then help us today to have the courage, like Mary, to just obey. To say, I'm here to serve, and whatever it is that you say you want to do, I'm allowing you to do in me. Let it be done to me today. We thank you that you don't leave us alone in this. We thank you that you don't just let us walk out there, but you give us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. So today, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would deposit a gift in us, deposit the power in us that we need to accomplish all that you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.